You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to a Friday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thank you for listening and for subscribing and to those who support us on Patreon. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here with David Ramil. It's the Friday after the trade deadline. For all of our trade deadline thoughts, check out the last two shows. Our trade deadline breakdown went up Thursday evening. So again, if you haven't seen that, if you haven't heard that, just go check your podcast feed. It's all there. We break down Tyler Johnson. We break down Wayne Ellington, what Ryan Anderson can bring to the Heat, if anything, and where Miami goes from here. But today, we're going to play Guess the Record, because that's what we do here on Fridays. Let's start with how we did last week, David. An interesting week. The Heat played the Thunder, the Pacers, and the Trailblazers, all three games landing right before the trade deadline. And Miami ended up losing to the Thunder. They lost to the Pacers, and they beat Portland in a nice road win for them to kick off this six-game road stretch. But I had them losing to OKC, and I was right in that game because you had them winning against OKC. But then against Indiana, I had them beating the Pacers. You had them losing to the Pacers. They, in fact, did lose to the Pacers, so we split those two games, and And we both predicted losses to Portland. Turns out Miami won. So we were kind of all over the place last week. The result is that we tied for the week, which means I'm still plus one advantage on the season. The first time I did that, I actually forgot to factor in the OKC game. And I thought that you had tied me by going on like a two-week win streak. But I caught that I missed the OKC game in the last minute. So luckily for me. So far, so good, I guess. I don't know. This next week is pretty loaded. So now the trade deadline is gone, and they've got four games going into the All-Star break. So between the trade deadline and the All-Star break, four tough games on the road Friday, tonight, at Sacramento. I'll be there. Sunday, at Golden State. I'll be there, too. And then Monday, at Denver. Wednesday, at Dallas. Tough stretch here, David. But let's first look back on last week really quick. Are you surprised at all that they, by the results, going on to the starting that road stretch with that win against Portland? That was a pretty nice win. Do you see that win against Portland maybe giving them a little bit of a boost here for the rest of these games?
It's impossible to say. I mean, when your head coach is saying that he has no idea which version of his team is going to show up on a nightly basis, I'm not sure what luck either of us can have as far as predicting what version of the team.
So what are we even doing here?
We're guessing. Accurately guessing. That's not the name of the segment. I mean, I don't know if that win's going to propel anything. It seems unlikely that one win would signify anything. And even the days off in between the game at Portland and the game at Sacramento, That doesn't mean anything. Like, they had that same kind of break before facing Oklahoma City, and then they dropped an absolute nightmare against the Thunder. So these kind of games don't really matter.
And the trade deadline is this kind of weird speed bump in the middle of it, right?
It is. But I kind of feel like it's a positive thing now that it's in the rear view. I think for the team, they can just look past it. It's like, this is the roster, and there are no changes happening. Guys like Jay Rich, who I think may have been on the bubble, you never know. Tyler's, James Johnson, I don't know that he was necessarily worried because he's under contract. Dion, those guys, they're still under contract. But it's nice to know that they're still with this team, at least for the rest of the season.
There's some certainty in knowing also who else is going to be in that locker room too.
Absolutely, and look, that's one of the biggest points of the trade for Tyler and Wayne was the fact that now all of a sudden you've got two backcourt players removed from the equation. You know who's going to play. You know somebody's going to get minutes. There's still questions about the starting lineup. We both think Roddy Magruder will be the likely choice.
Mm-hmm. Spoelstra said that Roddy Magruder will start after practice today in Sacramento. So as we predicted, Magruder will get the start. Waiters will continue to come off the bench.
You see, we do know what we're talking about.
Now that we know what we're talking about, let's look ahead to this game tonight against the Kings. The last time that these two teams played way early in the season, October 29th, the Heat lost 123-113. At what the time looked like a really bad loss, and it was being billed as such, Josh Richardson had 31 points, but that didn't really matter because the Kings just ran up and down the court and completely just outran the Heat, basically. Just Miami couldn't keep up with that pace. The Kings still play at that pace. The Heat still play at their slow pace. So I think that's going to be the thing to watch tonight.
Yeah, I mean, look, the superlative play of Hassan Whiteside, and I feel almost dirty saying it, you know, he's been so good of late. He was really, really good against the Trailblazers. I think that's a difference maker. I mean, obviously, his game is more suited towards a slower pace, a half-court style of game. But at the same time, I feel like he can get their players into foul trouble. He can make things difficult for them. And he can, of course, challenge them on the defensive side as well. So I kind of like that matchup in Miami's favor.
Yeah, Willie Cauley-Stein is really good at picking up fouls. And then Marvin Bagley and Harry Giles are super young, and young centers tend to pick up a lot of fouls, and they do. So that's a really interesting – that's a good point. If Miami can exploit the Whiteside matchup, which you're right, does sound a little dirty saying that.
But at the same time, look, I mean, I don't think Harrison Barnes is going to be available to play. He just was acquired at the trade deadline. You know, they're kind of readjusting a little bit there. But at the same time, I think for the first time in a long time, this team is actually focused on making the playoffs. And I think that kind of provides a little extra intensity. It's very difficult to predict. I'm tempted to go with Miami. But at the same time, knowing that Sacramento... What's Sacramento's home record by any chance? I'm not sure if you know that off the top of your head.
I don't. Let me look it up really quick.
This is riveting.
This is really good stuff. Can you hear the clicking? Wow. ESPN doesn't have their home record like front and center, so this is going to be a little... Hold on. Let's keep going. Let's dig deeper. Let's dig deeper. They are 17-11 at home. Miami is 14-11 away. So basically, they're the same.
Interesting.
So the thing with the Kings, and this was evident in the game when a bunch of players were getting traded while they were playing, and they lost... the game to Portland Tuesday night, right?
Yes.
No, that was the Heat played Portland Tuesday night. Whatever the Kings played Wednesday night, they got blown out. And I think a lot of that was because young players aren't used to this trade deadline stuff. And the Kings are the youngest roster in the league now that they don't have Zach Randolph. They are by average age the youngest team in the league. And they weren't used to it. And I still think that that's going to linger a little bit into tonight. And so I actually have the Heat winning this game.
I'm tempted to go against the grain, but I'm gonna go with you on this one and agree that they will pull out a victory.
All right. I like it. Let's get to the rest of the games after this break. But first, Heat fans, we've got a special announcement. We are going to give away a D-Wade World Tour t-shirt to a lucky fan. All you have to do is leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at LockedOnHeat. Then take a screenshot of both and email it to lockedonheat@gmail.com. Once we get to 150 iTunes reviews and 1,500 followers on Twitter, and we're pretty close on the iTunes reviews, David, we'll randomly select someone to send a D-Wade World Tour t-shirt to. You get to decide the style. There's 4 different styles. They're really cool looking. And whatever size that you wear. And we'll send it to you as a thank you for your support. Again, all you have to do is leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at LockedOnHeat, and send those screenshots over to us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Once we get to 150 reviews and 1,500 followers, we will cut off submissions, so get those submissions in now. A D-Wade World Tour t-shirt could be yours for free. After the Heat play the Kings Friday night, they stay in the Bay Area. And on Sunday, they play the Golden State Warriors. It'll be the first time that these two teams meet this season, David. The Warriors will come to Miami at the end of February. So they've got to play the Warriors twice in 1 month. Pretty tough. They get their first shot at them on Sunday.
There's so much going on with the Golden State Warriors right now. I mean, most of it off the court. As far as the public eye is concerned, they're focusing on Kevin Durant and his statements to the media, his lack of statement to the media. So there's a lot of noise with this team, but hasn't that been the case for, what, a million seasons now? Like, this is a high-profile team and has been for over 4 seasons, and I think, they're pretty used to it, and we're kind of tending to look for stories where none may appear, but the reality is they're just still really good on the court. I mean, that's not really breaking news there. They're still dangerous. They do everything that they do. They shoot very well. They attack the basket extremely well.
They're in the middle of their best stretch of the season right now, too. I think they've won 11 of the last 12 or 12 of the last 13 or something like that.
Yeah.
they haven't looked better than they have right now. And DeMarcus Cousins looks awesome for them. Like, he never had an Achilles tear, almost, looks like. And he's shooting threes. He's spacing the floor. He's getting rebounds down low. He's facilitating out of the post. He looks great.
Yeah. I'm glad for DeMarcus. I'm just, not because I know him personally or like him or anything like that, but at the same time, it's always encouraging mm-hmm. to see a player be able to come back from injury. I know a lot of people around the league and maybe even some of our listeners feel it's unfair or something along those lines that DeMarcus joined an already loaded team, but at the same time, he made the sacrifice. He gave up money. He wanted to prove that he could win a title and then go on and make money elsewhere, more than likely, because let's be honest, the Warriors cannot afford to pay him. Even when Kevin Durant joins the Knicks next season, it's not going to make much of a difference. So, as far as the matchup where the Heat is concerned, there's no answer there. I mean, I don't know that anybody around the league has an answer. You can only hope that maybe Golden State is tired, that Steph and Clay both have bad nights.
Yeah.
I think Durant can be exploited, although he's ironically most consistent, right? Because his game isn't precipitated on anything specific. He can score at will, and he'll always be able to do so. So it's, you can allow Kevin Durant to get his points and then focus on shutting out or limiting everybody else and hope that maybe DeMarcus isn't as aggressive. And if that's the case, maybe there's a chance for this new reinvigorated version of Hassan Whiteside, but that's not realistic. I have to go with a loss to Golden State.
I'm going to go with a loss too, just for obvious reasons. The Warriors are really good, and the Heat aren't like that good. But
yes,
it'll be interesting to see what the Heat do defensively, because Josh Richardson did a really nice job last season guarding Steph Curry in the limited matchups that they had. And I think that Richardson will start on Curry at this game.
But see, here's where the matchup with Magruder, right? Isn't that where the problem lies?
Yeah.
Magruder on Thompson, that's no matchup. There's a clear size difference there. And if he slides over to Durant, who that's ridiculous.
Yeah, and you can't have Magruder against Durant, which is, I think, what they did last season, if I remember, and it didn't work out really well. What they should do, and I have no way of knowing what they're going to do, what I think that they should do is you put Winslow on probably Curry, and then have Josh Richardson follow Klay Thompson through all those screens, or maybe even Magruder, but I would prefer to just put Magruder on Draymond Green, because Draymond's not really going to, he's like a non-factor on offense for them. You have whatever center you have out there on DeMarcus, unfortunately, and then you put James Johnson on Kevin Durant.
Will he start then against Golden State?
I think James Johnson should start against Golden State. I don't see why Kelly Olynyk would start in that game. I think he would get exploited. Well,
yeah, that's a very good point. I hope Spoelstra recognizes that and is willing to make that change, something that he's not normally willing to make. So,
Spo, if you're listening, and you're probably listening because you decided to start Magruder after we said it was a good idea, so that's what we think you should do. Monday at Denver. So the last time these two teams played, not that long ago, they played last month, January 8th. The Heat lost 103-99, close game that the Heat ultimately fell to the Nuggets in. I don't know if I see it going a different way this time, David, but maybe it helps, number one, that they've already played this team before, and number two, that they kind of play better on the road. They played them at home last time, so maybe they'll be better this way.
No, I'm sorry. It's going to go a different way in that it's going to not even be nearly as close as the other loss. I mean, Denver's 23-4 at home. There's a clear advantage there. I mean, we're talking about a back-to-back against the world champion Warriors and then traveling to the Mile High Stadium and trying to take on the Nuggets. A very dangerous, very potent, very deep Nuggets team. Look, they've dropped two in a row as of this recording, but they're 7-3 over their last 10. They are very, very good. The only reason they've dropped a second in the Western Conference is because, well, Golden State is Golden State. But at the same time, that is a brutal two-game stretch for any team. So I can't see them coming remotely close. I feel like you almost go into these two games knowing they're going to be losses and being comfortable with that and then focusing ahead to the fourth game on the road trip.
Yeah, I forgot to mention it is a back-to-back, and so and that home record is pretty dubious. So, yeah, the Heat are losing that game. Wednesday at Dallas. First time that these two teams play. First time that the Heat get to see Luka Doncic up close and in person. Should be pretty interesting. To me, the major matchup, Justice Winslow versus Doncic, they both kind of play that point forward hybrid point guard spot thing.
Yes.
Should be really interesting. Dallas is kind of mixing and matching their lineups ever since the Kristaps trade. They're not going to have Kristaps for the rest of the season, it looks like. So they're kind of just experimenting with their lineups based on matchup or feel or whatever they decide sounds good that day. So it's kind of hard to predict what this is going to look like. But it should. But again, to me, the matchup is Winslow versus Doncic.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of, well, I'm tempted to go in favor of Winslow in this one because I think he's got the speed and the versatility and the strength to make things difficult. But, you know, Doncic, what makes him special, and obviously this is the first game of the season against Dallas, so for Heat fans that may not have watched him play, I mean, he does not play like a young player. I think that's pretty well established. He's very experienced, even though this is his first season in the NBA, but that hasn't meant anything. He's extremely savvy. He's not the most overtly athletic player in the league, but what athleticism he has, he uses masterfully. His timing is fantastic. He's got a savvy and a trickery to his game that just gets opponents, you know, it totally throws them off. So it's almost impossible to defend. You hope you can harass them just enough so that maybe his shot isn't following. But once he gets falling, excuse me, but once he gets to the rim, there's a good chance he's probably going to find some way to score or hit somebody for an assist as they're cutting towards the basket. So he's a very, very, very good passer, obviously a decent shooter, a heck of a player. So I like the matchup in Winslow's favor because I think, if you look at how he matched up against Ben Simmons in the playoffs last year, maybe that's something comparable. Although, obviously, Luka's not nearly the same size as Simmons or the same level of athleticism. But I think you kind of look for somebody that big who can make passes, who can score at will.
Winslow tends to get up for these matchups.
He does. He does. So I'm hoping that he recognizes this, the magnitude of this. And from Dallas's perspective, they're not fighting for a playoff spot. Look, they're three games under 500 right now. But they're not, you know, they're not looking at the playoff picture in the Western Conference. That's almost going to be impossible for them. They'd need a miracle, a hell of a stretch just to even sniff the eighth seed in the West.
Yeah.
So it's all about building on what they have. Maybe what a lot of Heat fans would want out of Miami, too, is they're looking at Luka, they're incorporating Kristaps next season, and they're going to keep building from that. But as far as the matchup with Miami is concerned, it should be a really fun one. But I kind of like Miami to pull out a victory against the Mavericks.
Yeah, I mean, as good as Luka is, I just don't know how much help he has. Tim Hardaway Jr. has a tendency to shoot his team out of games, so that there's something there to consider. I just think that Miami has so many guys that can defend the limited guys that Dallas has. No J.J. Barea, thankfully. So I have the Heat winning this game as well. But to me, the more interesting thing is just, as far as Dallas and Miami goes, they're... Going forward, Dallas obviously has much more flexibility, and they have Kristaps coming back next season. But as far as building around your guy, and Dallas is building around Luka, and Miami might be building around Justice Winslow if that's the direction that they decide to go in, it's an avenue that they could pursue. The way that both of these teams construct their rosters the next two, three, four seasons is going to be really interesting because, to me, Luka and Winslow basically play the same position and have a very similar skill set, and it'll be... Again, they can kind of look at each other and kind of almost see what works in that way. I mean, you've got these guys who aren't going to guard other point guards on defense, but they play point guard on offense, and so you kind of have to construct the roster with that in mind. So it'll be, again, just a litmus test to see how you build around those types of guys. All right, really quickly, jersey swaps. Sacramento, I got De'Aaron Fox.
I was looking at it. They don't have anybody else there that I see a clear connection.
Buddy Hield, maybe, like just shooting guard.
Maybe. I don't see it, to be honest with you. No, okay. We're going De'Aaron Fox.
Okay, going Fox. All right, yes. Golden State Warriors.
Ooh,
this is tough. I don't see Durant. He seems to be moody lately. I don't think he wants to do it. I think he wants to get in front of the cameras the least amount as possible. I'm gonna go Klay Thompson because I want to speak it into the universe.
No, I can't see Klay Thompson caring about that.
No, but I think if Wade approaches him, maybe he'll be like, "Yeah, man, sure, whatever."
I could see Draymond.
Okay, you're going Dray.
And remember, there's another matchup in Miami too. I mean, it all depends on how Wade's feeling against Golden State. So I'm going with Draymond.
All right, I got Klay. You got Dray. Denver. Jamal Murray got it last time. Gary Harris. Wasn't available in that game, right? So I've got Gary Harris getting it this time.
I'm still going with my first pick. I'm going with Paul Millsap.
Okay, so you got Millsap, I got Harris. And then Dallas, it's got to be Luka.
Why wouldn't it be Dirk?
Ooh, it could be Dirk. All right. Probably right, unless they do it at the All-Star game or the next time these teams play. It's going to be Luka or Dirk, depending. If Luka goes off, it'll be Luka, and then Wade will be like, I got you next time, Dirk.
I think it'll be Dirk both times, to be honest with you. I don't see why not. You could get a home and an away jersey.
All right, so we've got some friendly prop bets that I want to get to. A new wrinkle to our Friday show, David. We'll do that after this break. Okay, so we do Guess the Record here every Friday. It pretty much covers the same format we look back on last week. Kind of take a look at the next week, guess the record, do the jersey swaps. This has evolved over the course of the season, David, just like kind of the Miami Heat's lineups and rotations. We tend to evolve too, but we have no idea if it's better or worse. So I came up with some prop bets. I came up with this idea going through on Super Bowl Sunday, like the morning of, kind of just trying to throw money into the toilet, basically, trying to find things to bet on. So here we go. Prop bets for every game that we just talked about. Versus Sacramento, who has more points and rebounds combined? De'Aaron Fox or Hassan Whiteside?
Wow. Okay. That's a tough one because De'Aaron Fox, not a gifted rebounder, but obviously a hell of a scorer.
A little bit of an underrated rebounder. Grabs three or four rebounds a game.
Not bad. Not bad for somebody his size. So it's just rebounds and points total.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we're going with a Willie Cauley Stein factor, I'm going to have to go with Hassan Whiteside.
This one's really tough. I do think that the pace of the game is going to impact this. The Kings are going to try to really lean on that, and I think because of that, they might ask for Fox to crash the boards and just get out and run really quick.
Yeah.
But Whiteside is averaging basically 13 and 12 this year, and that would put him a little bit over, if he hits his average, Fox's average of 17 and 3 or 4, but it's really close. I'm going to go with De'Aaron Fox on this. I think he's going to have a big night in that game, and he might just do it with points, to be honest. Like that, the potential with Fox to just put up 25 points, it's very possible. So I'm going to go with Fox.
I'm thinking with Whiteside there, it's not going to be as easy for Fox to get to the rim, but he can always drive to the rim and then find guys like Buddy Hield out on the perimeter. And so he could rack up, you know, over 10 assists easily on a night like this. So.
But we're not doing assists, just points and rebounds.
Sorry, you're right.
Yeah,
in
so
case, you're right. Okay.
I'm still going with Fox. You've got Whiteside. Should be interesting. Golden State, who has more threes? Steph and KD or the Miami Heat?
Okay. What is Steph and KD average on the season?
I'm not going to look anything up because that's cheating.
Oh.
We're not cheating.
We're not?
Okay. No. Steph and Durant combined. Because Steph might get more threes than the Heat. It's very possible.
Always. Okay. I'm going with Miami on this.
You're going Miami. I like your confidence. There's absolutely no way. It's gonna be Steph and KD. The thing with KD is he doesn't take a ton of three pointers. And the mid range game should be there because for some reason, even though we say that James Johnson should probably be covering Durant, it'll probably end up being Magruder to start the game for some strange reason. And KD will just like go to work on him. So I don't see Durant really taking a ton of threes. And there's the chance that Steph and KD don't play a whole lot of the fourth quarter in this game. And if that's the case, if it's a blowout, Miami probably takes a bunch of threes at the end of the game. But they did just trade two of their better three-point shooters. So I'm still going Steph and KD.
I mean, they average. Look, I'm looking it up. I'm cheating if you want to.
I don't even know if it's cheating if you're telling me. I don't even know where this falls.
Well, they average, just between the two of them, 7.1 made three-pointers per game.
Oh. Yeah, maybe Miami can do it. I'm still going Steph and KD because I'm very pessimistic. All right, Denver, Justice Winslow and Josh Richardson combined, or Nikola Jokic for more assists. So who gets more assists, Winslow and Richardson combined, or Nikola Jokic by himself?
You know how I feel about Jokic. I think that's a clear favorite to me. Yeah. I mean, he's a really gifted passer, obviously. He carved up Miami in that other game in Miami. So I've got to go with Jokic on this one.
It doesn't help that he can play out in the perimeter and Whiteside doesn't guard the perimeter. So he basically just has all the, you know, the line of sight that he could want. Yeah, to get off those passes. Winslow and Richardson, they probably need to get up to, 15 for a comfortable cushion on Jokic? 15 assists combined, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's capable of a triple-double. It's going to have to be at least 15. I mean, we're looking at 8 from Winslow and another 5-7 from Richardson.
Yeah.
That's tricky.
I mean, does Miami try to play up in pace? I'm with you. I'm going Jokic on this. Final game against the Mavericks. All right, here's a good one. We talked about the Winslow versus Luka matchup before. Points, rebounds, and assists combined. Who has more, Winslow or Luka?
I'm going to go with Winslow on this one. I'm hoping that, like you said earlier, I think he'll get geared up for this game, and I can expect him to have a big one. So I'm going with Winslow.
You know what? Screw it. I'm going Winslow too. Speak nice. It into the universe. Let's try it. Let's see what happens here. That's all we have for today. Thanks for listening. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Heat. Connect with us on Twitter at Locked On Heat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. And we'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.
Yeah! Rock it up, B.